Hello, everyone. Welcome to my new podcast, Do the Cure. You're listening with Dan Hegerich, six-time cancer survivor, doing my best to connect with one more person today. Just one more. How do I connect? How do I reach out and touch someone in such a way that they actually start to live their life? I don't know. I'm practicing how to reach someone, and apparently, society is moving in a direction where connecting with people in person is becoming so uncomfortable that the only way to actually connect with people is hiding in the closet of our social media. And so here I am, hiding in the closet of our social media because I really don't have a clue how to access getting out there in the world to meet with people in person or talk with people and share with people my story of how I healed or cured my terminal form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I use that for marketing terms because we don't cure anything. We're just all heading in a certain direction. And just off the cuff, death is a healing taking place. It's the next step. It's not a end all or be all. That's my, it's just an opinion maybe, but it's also a frame of reference or a framework for me to live by. And it's better than the other way around, that death is painful, sad, tragic, and etc. But today's podcast I'm going to go into is about paradoxes and contradictions, or contradictions and paradoxes. I don't know the literal explanation of those, so I'm going to just do my best to give you my versions or my interpretations and observations of those as they apply in life. One of the paradoxes was I'm trying to provide these podcasts, and I made two attempts to use technology and record this episode and failed to do so. And thus, technology was supposed to make our lives easier. And the paradox is, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It makes it way more complicated. I have to have way more patience with technology than anything else I know. Right? You take a walk in the woods, you think you have to slow down and have patience? No. Try learning technology that you really don't give a shit about. Right? But because I do care about you and I want to connect with you, then I'm willing to learn to have patience and practice the technology, using the technology so that we could be here today. So it's a paradox. Technology is supposed to make our lives easier, free us up for more leisure time. And if you take a look, nobody has much leisure time. It's very difficult to connect with people, even though paradoxically, we have all kinds of forms of ways of connecting with each other. I text someone, phone someone, email someone through email, and I can message someone through Facebook, and it will still take a long time before someone gets back to me, if at all. In fact, I can go weeks or probably even months without a phone call, except for someone that's trying to sell me something. But I mean, in terms of intimate conversation, it's pretty much over, at least currently in my life, and that's pretty sad. So we have all these devices to connect with each other, but still feel disconnection. It's a paradox, right? It's a paradox and a contradiction. Maybe it's more of a contradiction than it is paradoxical, but here we are trying to find our way to play with this idea of paradoxes and contradictions. Here's one. Here's a paradox contradiction. If you are someone that's looking to change the planet, you might be someone that says stop all fossil fuel use, right? But people don't realize, like, especially specifically in automobile use and airplanes and stuff. But what people don't see is how much of that fossil fuel goes to producing and packaging and cooking and freezing and boiling and, you know, braising your food. So, how much energy goes into all the restaurants to prepare your food? How much waste goes into that sector? So we look at automobiles as the main player, but we don't see the other players involved. Sure, any form of travel is going to use these fossil fuels for the planet, and so isn't eating. So isn't eating the way it's set up. So you have to be mindful about all things, not just one thing. What's the paradox? I don't know. I think I went down the wrong lane here using an automobile analogy. I hope someone picked that up. Is that a metaphor or analogy? I don't know because I hate English. I never really understood grammar and correct use of words. And that's the beauty of our public education system. I can actually graduate and not know anything about our language. Maybe that's a paradox in and of itself. Well, here's one. Here's one that's coming up. So in 2000, I left all the medical model. I left the whole system behind. I surrendered into something else. The unknown, I surrendered into faith in life. I surrendered to death, that death was okay. I was okay with dying with my cancers or my tumors. But I left the medical model and applied a principle or philosophies to follow, a framework for living healthy and wealthy, more loving life. And in 5 months, I got rid of the tumors. And you know, my oncologists were saying, "Congratulations, this is phenomenal. Your success is really phenomenal because, really, in 1995, from your failed bone marrow transplant, you had maybe 18 months to live. So your long-term survival is phenomenal, and we don't understand it." But yet, the same people are striving for a cure. Are they looking for a cure? Are they researching for a cure? Are they practicing medicine to cure people? And here I am applying some principle philosophies, I guess, for life, for living healthy. And my oncologists, none of the people reached out and asked me what I was doing. So the paradox or contradiction is they say that they're there for health and they want to cure people, but they're not willing to reach in and learn from people like myself. Now, I'm not an isolated case, folks. I'm not the only one who has created some kind of healing miracle without the use of medicine. You see, that's the contradiction within their own system. They want a cure, but only if it's born and bred within their own system as a product or service. And so what they've done is they've created a system that protects them and anyone else, or it protects them from someone else curing the illness, and it goes into their products and services. So they want to snuff out people like me because it doesn't uphold their business model. Why wouldn't a oncologist want to learn from me? Or just have a dialogue? Let's not even talk about learning anything. What about just having a dialogue about it? Because I'm going to say, I was doing nutrition. I was finding ways and dietary principles that nourish me. At least I thought so. I was doing exercise or movement therapies that were also nourishing me. I was doing detoxification processes, both physiological or biochemical and emotional detoxification, and certainly self-limiting belief detoxification and dialogue. I was having mentors or social workers or a psychologist to talk to or anyone to talk to. I was having dialogue. And those are products and services don't fit into their model. So in that 5 month period after I was done with all the tumors, my oncologist basically said, if you get cancer, give us a call. If your cancer comes back, give us a call. If you want to use our products and services, that's what she is intending to say, but she didn't. Now, what's the psyche of an oncologist? They spend a long time mastering their craft. A lot of money, a lot of energy, a lot of emotional energy to master their craft. And now, if someone says, you know what? What if we can just start teaching people to do the cure proactively, prevent cancer from actually occurring in the world, or heart disease, or diabetes, or obesity, or some kind of mental disorder, or autoimmune diseases now, right? Autoimmune processes taking place, or infertility. What if we could start teaching proactively how to live life? Because I think the translation of doctor is loosely saying teacher of life, how to live life in well-being. But the oncologist has created an identity as someone whose purpose in life is to help people with cancer. If there's no cancer, what would this individual do with their life? What would their identity become? So they are psychologically challenged with the idea of no more cancer because their personal identity is invested in being someone who supports cancer, someone who works with those who have cancer. And if there's no cancer, I have no identity. No wonder why they don't want to have a chat with me or sit down and have a dialogue. Because if they stop promoting people to get well and not take on their products and services, well, then they're out of a job. They're out of a job and an identity, potentially. That is very painful. I know for sure, because I was on track as a civil engineer. I was taking the professional engineering track. I was a couple of years away from getting my professional engineering stamp. I was creating an identity around that. And then I got blindsided by this illness that people called, you know, this cancer. And I had to actually, you know, die to that identity and sit for a very long time in a space of no identity. And even today, I think I struggle with what my identity. I mean, I think it's kind of weird that we're building these identities around something and, you know, promoting ourselves as such. You know, I'm a life coach. I'm your personal trainer. I'm your nutritionist. I am blah, blah, blah. I am your counselor. I am your oncologist. I am your physical therapist. I am your accountant, right? We're creating these identities around it. I am an alcoholic. I am depressed. I am mentally ill. I am da 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 da. I have ADD. I have, you know, blah, 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 whatever you want to put after these words. But I am, whatever you put after I am, you become or you remain. There's no flexibility in actually changing yourself. And that's what my work is about. Do the Cure is about transforming yourself, which is a change in your consciousness. It's a change in your consciousness. That's where transformation happens. It's a change in your consciousness, not because you changed the furniture around in your home or you painted the wall a different color. That's not change. That's not, you know, I mean, I guess it is. We'll call it little change for the sake of it, but it's not change. Or it is change, but it's certainly not transformative. You know, you got a new hairdo and you transformed your look. You know, to me, it makes me laugh. Okay. And I'm not laughing at what it is. I'm laughing because of the intelligence that is what a person's going through. It's it is a judgment, I guess. I think you heard that. It probably is my own judgment. So be it. I'm not going to judge myself for judging it. But it seems to be lacking some intelligence about what's really happening around here on this planet and this way of life. So paradoxically and contradictorily, the oncologists are not reaching out to have a chat with me on what we can do and set up maybe programs to teach people how to live, right? I know they have their yoga. I know they've slipped in and they're slipping in some modalities slowly, you know, and that's good. This is all great. This is starting to see that transformation towards having a world where we have less hospitals and less schools and less malls and more connection to the source of life, more connection to what we are in spirit and what we are or who we are in our own personalities and character. And certainly what we love to do for the sake of doing it. You know, here's another paradox and contradiction. If you're a literal genius, you can maybe have a dialogue with me or come on the podcast sometime and we can go deeper and wider into this notion of paradoxes and contradictions. So I spent, you know, 12 years in my public educational school system for, you know, elementary school, junior high, and high school, got a diploma saying or telling us that I'm ready to take on life. In other words, they educated me about what life was about. And I spent 5 years in a university for studying civil engineering, and I got that diploma and or degree. And now I spent a total of 17 years getting ready for the real life. And when I got my first job as an engineer, I didn't like the work. Like, the work did not bring out the best in me. It did not tap into what I am in spirit. It didn't tap into who I am in personality. It didn't tap into what I love to do for the sake of doing it. And that 17 years of my life that was supposed to be in developing my own sense of self and self-confidence and self-esteem so that I could navigate the world and, I guess, provide for myself and conquer the asphalt jungle, maybe. But none of it, not a drop of it, directly taught me about what I am in spirit, or if there is in fact spirit or energy, sound, light, and love. Didn't teach me anything about that. Didn't teach me about personality and trauma and emotionality or emotional literacy or emotional maturity or any of that. You know, emotional honesty. Didn't teach me nothing. That's the school system, right? That is here to teach us how to navigate life, just like the medical model is supposed to teach us how to live. Doctors are teachers of life. But they didn't teach me anything about my own personality. No reflections, no dialogue, no understanding, just information. Zero inspiration, just information. You know, and just pass a test. Had nothing to do with learning, at least the education I was receiving. Had nothing to do with learning. Didn't even teach me how I learn. Like, we all have a learning style or a learning skill. We all have a communication style and a communication skill. And it certainly didn't bring out my strengths. It just said I was good in math. I was reasonably good in math and science. Essentially, what they said is I sucked at English, and I did. You know, it was boring. I wasn't inspired in school. None of it was inspirational. It was all obligations to maintain a functionally dysfunctional way of being in the world. And then cancer came into my life when I was 28, going on 29. Right. And that was my wake up call. And Dr. Lawrence Cloud, my first oncologist, gave me my life syllabus. Dan, how did you get into the business of cancer? That was the question. A powerful question. And so paradoxically, here is a doctor who's going to offer product services in terms of chemotherapy, radiation, potential surgeries. And he drops a nugget, a teacher of life. He put it all back in my court. Dan, how did you get into the business of cancer? And isn't that a paradox that happened in the beginning? And then I navigated to answer some of that questions. And then at the end, when I got rid of the tumors, the oncologists at the time, which were different oncologists than he, had no interest in having a dialogue. So I'm using broadcasting through podcasting for now to help offer a dialogue with you, to have this dialogue with you so you can have a dialogue with yourself, have a dialogue with your own God, have a dialogue with your own heart, have a dialogue with your own mind, have a dialogue with your partner or spouse about it. You're 50 years old, you're 60 years old, you don't know anything about who you are. Why? How can that be? How can that be possible? And forget about the question, is just that's the system now, that's the way it's built, I guess. And now here we are having a dialogue on how we can change that system to pioneer a new way. And that for me means let's do the cure. Let's be proactive. The cure exists. The cure, it exists. I'm not an isolated case where I've created a miracle in my life, whether it be a health miracle, a financial miracle, a love miracle, a survival miracle. It's happening all the time. It's just not part of the system. That's why it's not being, I guess, promoted on social media as much as all the negative stuff. All the failures, all the fear. What's another practical paradox that might be happening or contradiction? Here's one. Here's a great one. So the vegan community, this is not picking on vegans directly. It's just showing you the paradoxes and contradictions that we live in. They say that eating animals is killing the planet. And it's killing humans. And then you have someone like Alan Savory from the Savory Institute, who says, actually demonstrates that you can take animals appropriately and put them into deserts and re-oasify that desert into a plush metropolis of resources that provides food and actually labor for people. And so Alan Savory says animals actually save the planet and improve human health. Now that's the paradox, right? The vegans can't look at that. It's really hard for them, because if they've created an identity around that, it threatens their own identity. I am a vegan. Your identity is locked into that and all the principles and frameworks and belief systems that go with it. So if someone comes by and contradicts it and proves it, they can't even see it. It's part of our paradoxical and contradictory place we live in. So that's part of our challenge, I guess. And then there's a woman I'm looking at right now. Charlene Anderson. OK, Okay. Charlene Anderson had a tremendous amount of health issues growing up. And so she had to go on elimination diets, and only coming to find out the only thing that actually saved her health was eating ribeyes. I mean, literally, she says ribeyes are all she eats, and she is stunning at age 45. I mean, the tone in her skin is, it's absolutely amazing. Her name is Charlene Anderson. A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N, Charlene Anderson. And certainly you can learn more about her and how she used meat to improve the health of her well-being. Amazing, too. You will be shocked. So that's the contradiction and paradox about the vegan story, which is eat meat and you die and your health goes to shit. And here's someone that eats ribeye, particularly red meat of all the devil, right? And she's absolutely, and that's all she ate, by the way. Nothing else, ribeye. So it's not only what she ate, the ribeye, but it's probably also what she did not eat that helped her. Fair to say, right? Contradictions and paradoxes. What do you have going on? That's a contradiction and paradox. Well, here's a major one that most people have. I know what I need to do to take care of myself, but I don't do it. That is an absolute mind blower, isn't it? I know what I need to do for myself and to improve my health or to get control of my spending, or I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do in my relationship. I know the conversation I want to have, but I'm not doing it. Or I know I need help, but I'm not getting help. Right? That's an amazing paradox or contradiction internally. And that's very, very hot in the body and mind. Very hard when you have that kind of a contradiction going on. I know what I need to do for myself and my well-being, but I don't do it. But I'll give free advice to those who do need help and want to take care of themselves. And I'll give free advice on how they can do it. Do as I say, not as I do. Classic. So there are many paradoxes and contradictions. I probably have quite a few more going on in my own life. And I want you to know that paradoxes and contradictions come from the fact that it's such a dynamic experience being human, that context, circumstance, situations, and individuality creates that. I don't want to treat everybody the same in any direct sense. I mean, other than maybe treat everybody with respect and kindness, but every context and circumstance and situation and individual changes the way we interact. Right? I might be one way with one person, and I might shift and personality shifts and my sense of self shifts a little bit with another. Hopefully, I'm keeping my core essence with all relationships the same. My core values. But I'm also flexible in the mind and flexible in the heart to understand that there's differences out there, folks. There's differences, and it seems like all of them can work, or all of them are working. Some are the expression of tragedy, and some are the expression of, I guess, success and well-being. You know, that even if someone is experiencing some kind of tragic loss or, you know, some kind of problem in their health and health, you know, it's I don't see it as good or bad so much anymore. I don't judge it as good or bad anymore. I just see it as that person's in development and in process of life, in the process of hopefully waking up. And maybe, you know, death is the option to waking up. I don't know for that person. For me, I love life for life itself. And the more I love life for life itself, the more I love life for life itself. It continues to grow. You know, how did I spend my day today? What was some of the things I did to express how I love life? You know, I woke up at, I forget, about 8. I slept in today because I had the day off. And I did my morning Qigong practice, which was absolutely beautiful this morning. I really felt really grounded in it and present. And then I did some nourishment. You know, I took on a ginger, turmeric, fresh coconut cream, honey, and pepper, a glass of that. And that was just delicious, you know. Wait. I'm not going to go into had a beautiful day, and I going for a walk down to the river and soaking in the cool water, which was about probably 55 degrees at most. And then drying off in the sun, which was 70 degrees today, a nice Indian summer here in New England. And then I walked back and it really knocked me out in a pleasant way. I came home and had a nice dinner. And now I'm just finishing up the day, nourishing my soul right now, trying to connect with you through this podcast, Do the Cure. Just trying to do my best. I have no idea what I'm doing or where it's going. And I am on an island, or it feels like I'm on an island trying to do this, because I don't know who to ask. I don't know the questions to ask necessarily. And I don't think the average person gets me. And I'm not judging them. I just think they're so locked into the model of marketing, how to get out in the world with funnels and email lists. That's not me. That's not freedom to you either. That's not freedom for you at all, is for me to bribe you, manipulate you to get your email so that now I can mass market you in all your sources of social media outlets, which are fucking annoying me now. Absolutely annoying me. My inbox, people send me emails every day for their products and services and their bullshit information that they're packaging. You know, like, I don't know, what's one of them? It's just all repetitive throughout the whole system. In other words, if you're in the health industry, every health practitioner is catching waves with, now it's the problems with the keto. And now there's a keto summit with discussing all the problems with keto, long-term keto, right? So that's big out there now. So all the health practitioners are getting on board and providing you information. I don't care about, you know, information's fine. And I find that it's good. But nothing trumps inspiration. Nothing can stop an inspired person. Nothing. Information that can bog you down, that can twist you up and turn you out and cause you to be so lost and full of chaos because of all the contradictions and paradoxes that the information leads to. Do this, don't do that. And then someone turns and says, no, don't do that, do this. No, wait a minute, don't do that, do this. Everybody has their own opinion and own thoughts, and they can do two things. One, they can create information to back up and validate it. They can find scientific research to back up whatever they want in terms of information. And they can forge or manufacture it. Excuse me, their objective. Right. So that's it for tonight, folks. This is Dan Hegerich, 6-time cancer survivor, doing the cure the best I know how. Doing the cure is an attitude first and then action second. Until we meet in person, which is my dream, is that you and I can sit down across from each other and hang out and have dialogue and discuss becoming an inspired human being. Till we meet, keep your body tuned up and your soul tuned in.